Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Abaji now with Gibson on him. Abaji looking for some space. Brown. Got it! Oh, Christian Brown.
He's a killer, man. And he will tell you, too. What makes him good is the reason why they hate him in the league right now. In other gyms.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
It's going to be Moore bringing it up. Guarded by Butler. 6 seconds to go. Moore blocked by Butler. Ball's loose. And Florida State's going to win it.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland's sports leader. 1080 The Fan. Brendan Sprague here across the way. The Dirt Man himself, he is in the building. What is happening?
I forgot I had something for you.
You got something for me?
What
do you
got? I screwed up the intro. Give me a second.
Oh, okay. What happened? Got to redo it again. Put your headphones back on. We got some, like, streamers we're going to pop in here. Some fireworks going off. I don't know what's happening right now. Something's getting grabbed. Something's been picked up.
So I... I forgot to tell you guys this. So when you work in radio, most people don't really know what you do. Like, I literally got a coffee this morning. It's just, where do you work?
Where are you heading today?
And I said, oh, I do a radio show. And she goes, what do you do? And I just looked at her and I said, I do a radio show.
I do radio.
But for the few that get it, sometimes they lean all the way in. And they embrace who you are. And okay. I meant to do this when I introduced you today.
Okay.
I got a push button.
What? Is that like a DJ sound effect? Like a horn?
Yeah, it says hype on it.
Hype. We got a hype button in here.
It's my first like radio prop anybody has ever given me. It's like a gag gift. Like, hey, you're in radio. You hit buttons. Now,
can you go like back to back to back?
Can we hit it? I think like, I can.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking.
Pump day.
New feature of the show. Let's go. I'm on board with that.
I'm afraid to leave. I don't think I'm going to leave this in the studio, though.
No, that's got
to
be ours.
Dusty and Isaac cannot be trusted with this. Sukanik will probably just sit on it and try to hype it every 10, 20 minutes.
Yeah, somebody's going to fart on that thing. It's going to end up going sideways. We got to keep that unique to us. I like that. Yeah. We got a prop.
Plus, you'll be going through. Is that battery operated?
I think it's battery operated.
If you leave it in here, you're going to need fresh batteries every day.
Well,
I love how excited now you were over your radio button.
Well, I forgot to. I meant to intro. Come in 6:02.
Hey, here's Dirt.
And I was gonna do Brendan Sprague, and then across the way, Andy Dirt Johnson.
You would have caught me completely off guard. I didn't even know how I would react to something like that at 6:02 in the morning. It's so damn early. I don't know what the hell's going on right now.
So the funny thing is, the wife found this because we're having a bunch of stuff done at our house today.
Yeah,
we're trying to move. So we got a lot of people coming through the house.
Sell.
And she's like, take this to work already. So I toss it in my backpack, and this is like 4:45 a.m. My 5-year-old daughter, who comes in our bed every day at 3 a.m. or a little later, and sleeps, of course.
She's laying down. My wife is dead asleep, and she hates getting up this early. And I have this in the backpack. I pick up the backpack, and just goes off next to him.
Sorry about that, honey. Sorry. It's pressing up against the edges of the backpack. It's not my fault, okay?
I'm so sorry. That's my fault.
So I had to get in the backpack and then discovered there was an off switch for it. But the word is...
Oh, it's hilarious.
The word is hype.
Hype. We got to get hyped.
If I put this on a Wordle, what would your Wordle score be?
Now, I pride myself in not knowing anything about Wordle yet. I see the tweets, I see the graphics, and I don't know anything about it. And
so it's just a word search game, basically.
I really don't want to know anything about it, but boy, oh boy.
It's kind of fun.
It is cotton on. Are you a Wordle guy now? Have you gotten in on the trend?
I don't do it the way everybody else does it. Like, I don't even really tweet that much, but like, you won't see me tweeting Wordle score 5 out of 9 or whatever the scorekeeping thing is, but I've played it a couple times with the wife.
I think we need to see your graphs. I think we need to see your bars or your squares. Let's put them up on Twitter.
Well, here's the other thing. You get like 5 guesses.
Let's publish this. Are you embarrassed because you're not doing well? Is that a thing?
No. I'm not embarrassed. If I was bad at it, I'd tell you I'm not good at it. I've only done it 2 times.
Because I see the graphics and I don't know what's good or what's... Is a lot of green bad? Is a lot of yellow good? I don't know what's happening
there.
Well,
green is good. Green means you got the letter in the right spot.
You're in the money.
Yellow, you know, they have gray, yellow. I don't really understand it either, to be honest with you. I just know you're supposed to find a word and discover what a word is, and you get 5 attempts at that word.
Okay, you want green.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a process of elimination here. You get... like we were playing one the other day and she was like, okay, the A goes here and then the E and the Y are next to each other and there's 2 more missing letters. So then we play the game of what word has an A in the beginning and ends with an E and a Y. And like, I'm surprised he is not playing this game.
It's right up his alley.
It's right up his nerddom.
Yeah.
Like for a guy who loves to hit the buzzer when somebody says funner, this Wordle game is right up Swigard's Avenue.
Yeah, I did. I've heard somebody explain it kind of like it's Word with friends without friends. It's kind of like you're doing it on your own, but
it's a mini puzzle.
Somewhat similar where you're trying to put it together and it's like a Scrabble puzzle kind of thing. Word with friends was a really big deal. Do people still play that? Is that still out there or is that gone by the wayside? We left that in the dustbin of history.
I don't know if it's Word with Friends. There's another game very similar
they
to that
replaced it.
That I've seen some people play. Maybe it's still Words with Friends, but I never got in on that one.
I didn't either, mainly out of laziness because you'd be playing and so many people would want to play a game with you that it just was nonstop. It was constant and I couldn't keep up. And then I'd forget for like a day and then somebody would get upset with you. And it was always a battle to try and keep up with the words. And then you'd end up just throwing one out there because you didn't really care anymore. You wanted to get your guess out. But all right, Wordle, you're on the Wordle train, man. I like this.
Well, I think it's a good mental exercise.
Good way to keep the old brain working.
Yeah. I just don't know when it hopped on to everybody sharing the Wordle score.
I don't either.
But I see it every day now.
Do they give you that little bar graph thing when you finish your guesses? Does that come with it, or do you put that on Twitter on your own?
Oh, are you talking about the green and the yellow
squares? Yeah, the little
squares. That's what the board looks like.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So then you send that out and you say to people, these are the words that I got right, bastard.
Well, and knowing our luck, there's a diehard Wordler out there, and they're hearing everything we're saying, and they're like, you're absolutely incorrect about the way this game's played. I was just told by my wife, because she plays this every day now, and I go, what is this Wordle? Because I've helped her a couple times. And she's like, it's one word a day. You get 5 guesses to figure out what it is.
5 guesses to figure out one word.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Early in the morning is probably a good time to do it. Get the brain working. Did you see the Reese Witherspoon thing where she sent out a post on Instagram where it's basically like, here's what you guys need to do to live a healthier life. You need to sleep 10
hours.
I love
when celebrities tell everybody else how to live a healthier life as they pay for personal training, personal chefs.
Right? Get paid $25 million a movie.
Holy
that
crap, man.
Will help me live a healthy life.
It'd be great. I'd live a very healthy life doing
if we
that.
All, you know, got $1 million a show in here.
Yo, it'd be great. I'd
be
living a great life.
We would be as healthy as could be.
Well, you know.
I think something like that would
really test
Dirt's way of thinking.
My will.
If you got paid that kind of money to do something like this, like Howard Stern, if you break it down, Howard Stern basically makes $1 million a radio show. He actually probably makes more because he doesn't work 5 days a week. If Dirt got that kind of money, Dirt Long says, if I win $4 million, I'm quitting. If I win $2 million, I'm quitting. I don't believe him because why would you quit a job that you're not getting fired from?
And I think if you made $1 million, I think you would do this for 20 years. You say you'd leave after like 10 million. There's no way.
$1 million a year?
Well, we play this game with the media types. Like Stephen A. makes probably 10 million a year.
Sure.
You can look at that of two ways. You can say, if you're Stephen A., do that for 2 years and then why do it anymore? That's 20 million. Or do that for 15 years and be worth over $200 million with that plus endorsement.
Sure. I would probably lean more towards retiring early with that kind of money. You don't just quit right away. Like 1 year in, you're done. $1 million a year, that's not enough. I need a little bit more than that. But you give me
how many shows, if I paid you $1 million a show, would you do before, honestly?
Oh, if you paid me $1 million a show?
Yeah, that's the way we're setting it up.
Then, yeah, I'm doing 1 year and I'm out. If you're paying me $1 million a show, 1 year and I'm gone.
Okay.
That's a lot of money.
Okay.
For a year? Are you kidding me?
Well,
How many shows do we do in a year? We're doing at least 20 a month, are we not?
Yeah.
Right?
Give or take, holidays thrown in there.
Sometimes a little bit more than that. What's 20 times 12?
Yeah. That's not bad. That's good money. I don't think you'd walk away, though.
I'm for sure out on that.
No,
I'm done.
I think you'd be a little greedier than you think.
I would start.
It's too good a money.
It is very good money.
And
every time you make more,
you level up in class. Like it's like, oh, that's the guy that has a nice little $2 million nest egg, and he's bought a beautiful home on a lake. And then it's like, oh, that's the guy that bought Phil Knight's house. You know what I mean? Like, that's the levels you climb in your life.
Yeah, I would just take that money and invest it properly, and then your money's making money. I got nothing to worry about here. And I would stay involved in the industry in some way. Mm. Like, you got to start a podcast. You got to do something to scratch your itch, because I would miss it too much to just not do it anymore. But, like, getting up at 4:45, 4:30 every morning, coming into work, making $1 million a show? No, I'm not doing that anymore. You kidding me? No, but Reese Witherspoon, her advice was, which was hilarious now that you brought that up, because it's like, well, you don't have to get up and go to a job every day. Your life is a little bit different. But she said get 8 to 9 hours of sleep every day, mandatory, which what percentage of Americans actually do that? I know I'm not in that category.
8 to 9 hours of sleep.
8 to 9 hours of sleep.
I'm not kidding you. I am on 3 right now.
Yeah.
I could not sleep.
I went to bed
late. I woke up at 3 a.m.
Right. I'm searching melatonin on Amazon right now.
Oh, my Lord.
So we're already 0-1 on Reese. Number 2 was like drink a butt ton of water. I can't remember exactly how much. I drink a decent amount of water. I feel good about that.
I aim for 100 ounces a day.
100 ounces a day. How many are in like a hydro? Like 30 ounces, give or take?
You've seen my water bottle. It's about 25.
25.
So I drink about 4 of those
a day.
You
try to go for 4? All right. I'm not at 100. I got to get myself 50 maybe. I try to get to 50 ounces.
I think for like our height, body weight composition, I think it's at least like 64 ounces or more.
Is what you're trying to put down?
I think that's the goal from the health experts.
All right. Well, I'm falling short of that goal. It was read for like 45 minutes in bed before you go to sleep and when you wake up in the morning.
Well, I can't do it in the morning, but I could definitely do that at night.
Imagine waking up in the 4 o'clock in the morning, turning your light on. Sorry, honey, I got to get my 45 minutes of quality reading time in. There was a couple others, but it was hilarious because one of them was like, don't watch a lot of TV, and which is, hey, you're on TV, so you're saying you don't want us to watch your stuff. Great idea there. And there was another celebrity, I can't remember the name, but you commented in the in the post and basically was like, how about this is my healthy lifestyle? I binge watch television shows all night, never get enough sleep. Mm. Instead of reading a book in bed, I play on my phone for 45 minutes before I go to bed and when I wake up. And I watch way too much television. And I was like, that's far more relatable than Reese Witherspoon telling me how to live a healthy life.
By the way, Wordle created by a Duck alum.
By a Duck, go Ducks, baby.
Yeah. An Oregon alum created the game Wordle that everybody's playing right now. I don't know if there's anything that falls on deaf ears more than celebrities telling us how to live.
Nothing. Or giving us advice like about politics or, you know, how we should treat each other.
Do you remember that awful celebrity rendition that Gal Gadot organized? The Imagine video at the start of the pandemic. God, that was bad. Who thought that was a good idea? Who okayed that?
Oh, such a horrible idea.
So tone deaf.
Ellen DeGeneres, I remember having one early in the pandemic where she complained about like being in quarantine in her house.
And she couldn't boss around her employees anymore.
Right? And she was like tweeting out videos and pictures of her house. And everybody's like, are you kidding me? You can quarantine me and that bitch for a year and a half.
She has like an immaculate pool on a cliffside view of the ocean. Like, get out of here.
I think I'd survive okay in that house. I'd be all right.
I'm in a 1,500 square feet with two kids, Ellen.
Yeah.
Get on my level.
talk to me about the pandemic. Get out of
here. Get out of here.
All right, we got a loaded show. We're going to try to go to Arizona. That's going to be the tough one. I got to book that throughout the show just because of the time zone. And Cincinnati. I think those two teams are very interesting from the wild card weekend. We have wild card leftovers I want to get to today. Let's see, 8:30. Andrew Nimick's going to join us. I'm quite excited for this one because we are going to dive into Oregon and Oregon State recruiting.
A lot going on with both schools right now.
How is Dan Lanning doing so far? Because I think a big reason he's brought in is to continue the recruiting success that one Mario Cristobal established. So we'll talk with Nimick about that. And he made a note about Oregon State trying to get in the top 50 in recruiting. So we'll talk with him at 8:30. We'll have Statter Story at 8:15. I want to talk about the Russell Wilson news that broke over the weekend. We got some losers audio from all the losers of Wild Card Weekend I quite enjoyed. We'll bring that to you. And so we got some Wild Card thoughts. And that's where I want to start. Some questions and thoughts that are still looming from the Wild Card Weekend. And I want to talk about the Tennessee Titans, because I feel like nobody's going to give them a shot this week and or a chance to even win the championship. And I just find that very interesting as they're in the final four of this dance. So let's start with the NFC and AFC wildcard games. A couple more thoughts and questions as teams were eliminated and some teams advanced. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague with you. Good morning on 1080 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. I want to do a follow-up real quick. So we got to a lot of like just game reaction yesterday. That's mainly what the show was, which was fantastic. Like, that's honestly my favorite part of doing this job, is watching big games like that. And a lot of them sucked, but just everybody's takeaways, like listening to your dumb opinion and listening to Swag's dumb opinion. I love it. I'm always curious how people are viewing the same thing that I'm watching. Well, something we didn't really get to yesterday was the broadcasting. And I wanted to talk about this real quick because there's a story from the broadcasting that really interested me, like to the point where I thought about getting a guest for it. And the story I'm talking about is the Manning cast. So did you guys watch any of the Manning cast for the Monday Night Football Rams Cards game?
Very briefly, I turned it on. I forgot that it was happening. And then I saw the clip on Twitter of Peyton cussing about not being able to hear things. And I thought, oh, that's kind of funny. And so I turned over and they were interviewing... who did they have on it? Was it Larry Fitzgerald? And I was like, all right, this is okay. But then it felt weird for a playoff game that it was more of a casual conversation with Larry Fitzgerald and then The Rock in the second quarter. So I switched back over to the main broadcast.
I'm not abandoning it, but I will tell you, it really fizzled for me week after week that they did it. Like, I enjoy what it is, but it feels like they're too reliant on guests. And it's like, you guys are two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks that could break some of this stuff down for guys like me and just talk about the game itself. Whereas like Roger Goodell for 45 minutes where you ask him nothing. They had Russell Wilson on, didn't ask him one question about the Ian Rappaport report. Hey, Russ, how's the future looking in Seattle?
You going to New York next year? Where are you heading?
Not one, but they had The Rock on. And The Rock, during the end of this interview, he was asked by Eli, is that a T-Rex skeleton in the background of your house? And he turned around and said, yeah, that's Stan. And he said, it's the most preserved
Stan?
T-Rex skeleton of all time. And he goes, pretty badass, right? Well, this is where they sometimes fail. Peyton and Eli, they didn't even do a follow. They just like laughed and then they went back to the game. Well, this actually blew up. And people were wondering if The Rock, because Stan is actually a real T-Rex skeleton that was bought for $32 million by an anonymous
fire.
Love that money.
So people say, well, The Rock makes like $30 million a movie. He makes like 7 movies a year. Did he buy it? He went to his Instagram and he actually updated everybody. And he wanted to let you know that he isn't the owner of the actual skeleton that's called Stan. He bought a replica. But he bought a replica from the right people, I guess, the paleontology, a paleontological excavations
sounds about
company,
right.
A research company. He says the original was found in 1987 by a paleontologist named Stan Sakrizin. And that's why they named the skeleton Stan.
Dude, how badass is that? If you found a perfect T-Rex head, skull, and you got to name it after you? How sweet would that be?
It's the most preserved one of all time. And Dirt,
that is so badass.
It's so preserved that they actually were able to realize what Stan the dinosaur did in his life. Like, it got bit by another T-Rex on the face. It's got marks from it. It lost its legs, its mobility. Like, they could read everything about this dinosaur.
$30 million.
But he didn't spend 32. He bought a replica, and I think somebody online found a replica, and it's like 12 grand.
Dude, you know what? Props to The Rock for that. Nobody's going to be able to tell the difference. The only reason we're even talking about this is because he was on the Manning Cast, and that was in the background. Like, if you're having people over to your house, you're telling that Stan the T-Rex? Nobody's going to question that.
Yeah.
Like, I had never heard this story before, and then I love that people dug into finding out the details behind Stan and how much it sold for. Props to The Rock. He's smart with his money. You don't need to buy a T-Rex skull for $30 million when you can buy basically the same thing for $12,000.
Well, I'm a huge dinosaur fan. I love the Jurassic Park movies, as dumb as they may get. I have a goal this year. My goal in 2022 is to buy a Stan replica.
You want to spend 12 grand on a Stan replica?
I mean, why not?
Okay.
What is life if you can't have a T-Rex skull in your house?
You're the most frugal person that I know. And you buying a $12,000 T-Rex head was not the news I was expecting at 6:24 in the morning.
Well, I might become a substitute teacher
Did
now.
Did you get a new contract and not tell me something? Did you hire an agent? What is happening right now?
No, I'd make less money if I hired an agent. That's how this business works, but maybe I'll become a substitute teacher permanently. They're always looking for them. They're paying you like $280 a day. Like,
hey, Mr. Sprague.
That might be the way to go to pay for Stan.
You go teach health classes or something at a local elementary school.
Jealous of it. But
put condoms on a banana.
I thought the broadcasting was interesting this week. I don't know why. Not that Romo was bad. I just wasn't a fan of the Niner Cowboy game on CBS. That bothered me for some reason. Aikman. I don't know. Aikman Buck not on a Niner Cowboy game felt weird.
It felt very weird. A lot of 49er fans complained that Romo was too giddy over the Cowboys and their chances at a comeback, and then
he was playing the
homer card. Yeah. It's going to happen. I did sense that a little bit. I don't get offended by broadcasting rooting interest, but I did sense that occasionally throughout the call. The guy that I have grown in my admiration for is Troy Aikman, because he's one of the few that just does not care and will say whatever the hell is on his mind, because I thought that was evident. Drew Brees was probably the most criticized broadcaster of the weekend. He called that first game on NBC with Mike Tirico, and Mike Tirico had to carry that broadcast. And a lot of people took to Twitter and complained about Brees and the job that he did. In Brees' defense, I will say this. The guy has done how many games now? Like four, right? Like,
I don't know. I felt like that was his first. I didn't.
He's
I'd
done
never
a
heard
couple.
Brees.
I know he's done a couple, but he's not one of these guys that's doing it every single week. And anybody who's ever worked in the broadcasting world or in the play-by-play world, there's one thing that is a constant truth, and that is that you need reps to get better at your job. And so when you're doing two of these a year and you're not getting the chance for the repetitions live on national television, you're gonna struggle at times. But I thought it was evident in the moment where they had the play we talked about a lot yesterday with the inadvertent whistle. And he didn't say anything. He didn't criticize.
Well, that whole broadcast was awful in that moment. Tirico didn't hear it or didn't acknowledge it. Brees heard it but didn't say anything.
Like, that's the moment as a
that was bad.
As a color commentary guy, that you got to point that out. Like, hey, they screwed that up. They screwed the Raiders here, because you could argue the whistle made the Raiders stop playing on the play. Some of the defenders made it look like they heard the whistle and kind of stopped, thinking that the play was over, and they ended up calling it a touchdown. But you fast forward that to later in the day, getting Troy Aikman calling, or later in the weekend, I should say, calling the Philly and Tampa game. And his reaction at the end when they teased the 49er Cowboy game.
He was pissed.
He was livid. Buck basically asked him, he was like, hey, 49ers and Cowboys coming up later today. Should be a good game. He was like, yeah, I know some broadcasters that would love to be there calling the game.
So Buck, what happens with that, Swigart? Is that a bid between CBS and Fox, and CBS won the bid?
I don't know how the wild card stuff gets dished out, because you have NBC and then ESPN in there. So I don't know if there's a priority. Plus, there's different things the year. Who's ever broadcasting the Super Bowl that year?
It's NBC this year, right?
Yeah. And so I don't know how it all gets doled out. The only thing I know for certain is CBS has the AFC Championship game.
NFC.
Yeah. Fox has the NFC Championship game. They will each have one game, at least one game each weekend. But after that, and then you've added two games. So I didn't know in the new contracts what the pecking order is. Well, but I thought it was weird that they would shift that game to CBS.
I did too. It just didn't. I know they once upon a time it was probably on that channel, but like from my life, it was always Fox with Niners Cowboys. Yeah, it felt a little weird. But you said something yesterday I thought was a really good point. The Manning cast thing, I watched 45 minutes of it on that Cardinal Ram game. The rest I just watched on the regular broadcast. It does feel like a broadcast that's not playoff suited. Like, it's not a normal game. You can't go and have three or four guests in a game and not talk about the game. It's a playoff game.
Right, it's a big deal.
There are stakes here, man. Yeah. And whether the game is great or not, like, it's a playoff game. And maybe people don't care about that, and we're kind of being too nerdy on that. But I thought that was a good point by you, either on or off the air, where you were like, it's a playoff game. Can you treat it like a playoff game? Like, there's plays happening, and you're talking about The Rock's tequila. Like, I don't care about this Rock commercial.
Care. It reminded me of the great Paul Allen call years ago. This isn't Detroit. This is the Super Bowl. Like, this isn't Minnesota-Chicago in week 7. This is a win-or-go-home game to get to the divisional round.
Yes.
With a lot on the line for the Rams and the Cardinals. Look at the reaction of the Cardinals now that they've lost. The win meant for Matt Stafford, his first playoff win. Like, I don't know who is in charge of mandating the guests and telling them that that's the way they need to do it. If you would have told me that wild card game would have just had Eli and Peyton bouncing off each other, talking about the game, and I'm not having to watch highlights of The Rock making sacks in Miami and discussing Miami football from 1992, I probably would have watched that entire broadcast, but it just wasn't enough about the game.
All right, I want to get to some of the quarterback elements of wild card weekend. We got the losers audio to get to, and then Russell Wilson, of course. It's wild card weekend, so he's got to be in the news, and he has to leak a report from his camp. We got the Daily Ticker, we got Statter Story, Andrew Nimmick at 8:30. A lot more to get to.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Good morning. Happy hump day, everybody. Giving Props is back for round 2 of the postseason. If you missed this free-to-play contest last week, no problem. It's a new week, which means new props and another $2,000 is up for grabs. Go to betql.com/props to sign up. 10 new props have been posted. Most correct picks this week wins $2,000. Remember, just by signing up, you're entered into a random grand prize drawing for $10,000. And someone's got to win that cash. Might as well be you. Head over to betql.com/props right now. Make your picks. That's betql.com/props. I'll give you one of mine right now. I'm going to go with Mike Evans over 67.5 receiving yards.
Jalen Ramsey's going to be following him all over the field.
I also like the Bills Chiefs. It's a pick 'em. Give me the Bills.
Ooh.
But we'll dive into that throughout the week.
Yeah, we got more time for that.
We'll hold it. Did everybody transfer DraftKings over yesterday?
I did, yeah.
Eventually that thing smoothed over, and it actually went really easy. The money just went right over to my account.
I had no issues. I saw a couple of people tweeting on our show account about having troubles with it, and it wasn't working.
That was the problem.
Yeah, it wasn't working for us in the morning. Then you texted later in the afternoon, and I was like, that's right, I forgot to do that, and logged on, and it was very easy. You set up your account, confirm everything, and then it says, do you want to transfer your funds? And you log into your lottery account through the DraftKings app, and then bada bing, bada boom, you show up with your money in there.
Hey, how great is that app?
It looks awesome.
The props, the same game parlay bets, like it's already better than what was currently going on.
Yeah, I was playing with it for about an hour. I didn't make any bets last night, but just playing around, looking at the line, seeing how different it looked. I love the feel of it. Very excited.
Good aesthetic.
Very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, I already cashed in on my first bet.
What'd you bet?
What'd you get?
I took the Canucks on the money line, baby.
Do you want me to give you a nice little BetQL five-star prop bet?
What you got?
I get these emails from a guy named Dan. He gives me the BetQL five-star locks of the day. Nets plus 2.5, I guess, is a five-star lock according to the BetQL model.
Are they in Brooklyn?
They're in Washington.
They're in Washington. So that means Kyrie's playing.
Yeah.
Kyrie can go.
Considering Kyrie. The Blazers hammered the Wiz by 10.
The Wiz are not good.
They're not good.
They got off to a great start. They suck. And I think Brad Beal is still out. So
yeah.
You got that going for you. I want to talk a little bit about the quarterbacks. We got loser audio to get to. All the losers from Wildcard Week and those big fat losers. We'll hear from them. I want to talk a little bit about the quarterbacks. You mentioned Matt Stafford. And, you know, Kyler Murray, I ranted about him yesterday, and I still think there's some meat on that Kyler Murray bone. But what did you make of Matt Stafford? Because I think many people have pointed out that didn't look all that different than what Jared Goff was giving this team. And whether it's one game and fair or not fair, at the end of the day, it really boils down to they put all of their eggs in that Stafford basket. They have to win now. This is a... We're winning this thing this year or next year. We don't have 5-10 years here. We're winning it now. Their salary cap, all of that. They don't have any first round draft picks. All that stuff's out the window. And they went all in on Matt Stafford, a move I loved. Not really that impressive at the end of the year. His stats look okay, and he wasn't amazing in that Cardinal game. Not that he needed to. But what did you just make of Stafford just in general? Now he's going on the road to Tampa.
Well, look, you're not wrong about the end of the year. He threw a lot of interceptions, had a lot of turnovers in the last month and a half, 2 months of the season. And that's always been a little bit of his bugaboo. It doesn't mean that there's not an upgrade from him to where you were at with Jared Goff. And I think that's where some people are missing the point on this first game. It didn't look much different than Jared Goff because it didn't have to look much different than Jared Goff. The Rams were able to run the football and they were able to protect him. And if they're able to do that, they're going to be a scary, tough team to beat because we know how good their defense is, how dominant their D-line is.
Well, he has to be different than Goff, though, because Goff was eventually kind of ceiling to that.
Eventually he does. But in a game where you don't need him to throw the ball more than 17 times, why are you making him drop back and throw a 30? They were up 21-0 like that because of a pick six in the second quarter. I'm not making him drop back and throw the ball 35 times and showing you all sorts of stuff in my arsenal, my passing game that I want to hold on to next week against Tampa. When you're able to run the ball for 150 yards as a team, get a defensive touchdown, he was incredibly efficient. Like, that was a perfect, perfect way for him to get his first playoff win. And I also thought it highlighted for him some of the stuff that he didn't have in Detroit. He didn't have that elite defense that would hold an opponent to 11 points or a run game that would help him out consistently throughout the course of the football game. So I'm not going to make a ton out of his first playoff start and say, well, it's the same as Jared Goff, because the question I still ask myself is, when you get in a position where you need him to be better than Jared Goff, who would you rather have? Who do you trust more? This is easy. You trust Matthew Stafford more. Doesn't mean he's going to win a Super Bowl this year.
Doesn't mean he's going to
throw five touchdowns in every game. He is a better quarterback than Jared Goff.
But the expectation, I wouldn't argue. I would pick Stafford over Goff. But I think, Dirk, the problem with this is going to be you traded for him to win the Super Bowl. You didn't trade for him to say, well, we got the division round. That's a nice year. They made all these trades, all this talent they've brought in on this team. This is a Super Bowl or bust team.
See, and I don't feel that way for 1 year. I don't.
Matthew Stafford, I don't know how many years this team has. How long is this organization going to keep trading all their first-round picks, bringing in overpaid stars?
I get that. A lot of their roster is still under contract. A lot of their defensive studs are still in the prime of their career. It's not like there's, you know, maybe outside of Von Miller, it was towards the end, and they just traded to him to get some playoff experience and a pass rusher. But the other guys that they have on the defensive side of the ball are in the prime of their career. Matthew Stafford, I think sometimes we forget, because I don't know, maybe it's just he was in Detroit a long time. He's only 33 years old. Like, that guy's got another, I would argue, 3 or 4 years left in his prime.
Hopefully, yeah.
I see your point in the larger context of everything that they've done the last couple of years. That yes, of course, going and making all these moves, you eventually want to win a Super Bowl. But if they don't win one this year, am I going to sit here and say it's a failure of a season? If they push the Bucs and lose on a last-second field goal,
yeah,
I'm not calling that a failure of the season. I think they're close. You tinker with the roster a little bit, and you come back again next year.
Swag, let me ask you this quickly. Do you look at the Rams? Because I'm differing from Dirt here. I look at this season, and we'll get to some of this loser audio. And I think a lot of those guys sum this up. The way the Rams are constructed, I view it as a failure if they don't go to the Super Bowl and or win it too, because you traded for Stafford. I'm not arguing about the talent between him and Goff, but they're going to Tampa this weekend, and I'll tell you right now, the trust with Stafford at quarterback versus Goff, like, it's not different. I don't have a lot of trust that he's going to be able to win that game for them. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I don't know. He's better, but it doesn't make me feel more confident.
I think they need to get to the NFC title game. I think it's going to be hard to get too frustrated with them or to think it's an utter failure if you lose to a Tom Brady-led team or possibly a Aaron Rodgers-led team in an NFC title game.
Whose roster is better when you look at it? Tampa or the Rams?
I think they're pretty equal. I think they're constructed a little differently, but
how serious are the injuries on Tampa's offensive line?
Well, Tampa's offensive line being banged up does suck.
That's the game changer there.
But the Rams are good.
The Rams are a very good team. They went 12-5 this
year. Their offensive line.
Their offensive line's good, no doubt.
Whitworth's still playing at a high level for a 40-year-old tackle. Yeah. Like, that's unbelievable. They're the best defensive player in football. They got the best cover corner in football. Like, this team is loaded. Like, the expectation, I'm a differ with you. If they lose this weekend, it's a failure of a season. Like, this team,
see, I think it's so hard to win a Super Bowl that I don't put that level of expectation on anybody, man. You need things to bounce your way, and to say that if you're not the last team standing, you failed this season.
I think it depends on how this game goes.
There's only one team I think I'd say that for. I think it's Green Bay because of everything they've been through the last couple of years and knowing that Rodgers could leave.
But McVay made that move thinking what? If I get this guy in place of that guy, I'm going to go to the promised land. This is the guy. It's the same thing Shanahan thought when he drafted Trey Lance. If I can get that guy, I can mold him into who I want him to be. That's the thinking of these guys. So it's like, I'm not getting Matt Stafford to say, well,
no,
we had a nice season. We got the divisional run. But he got Matt Stafford to get past that point.
If you lose a shootout to Tom Brady, 37-34, but Stafford, the offense, it's just they had the ball last.
Then your defense would have failed at that point. That's then those guys failed.
But as opposed to, you get trounced because if Stafford goes out there and throws a couple of those bad pick sixes or something like that, I think there's a very different taste in people's mouths.
For sure, 100%.
Mm-hmm. You know, we saw a couple of those absolute stinkers. Like, where is Matt Stafford's head during the season?
Imagine him coming back and he has that ending. He throws a pick six or something.
If he does that or something versus they're going up and down the field and, you know, Brady's just epic Brady, what you just kind of shrug your shoulders at that point and say it's just one of those things.
I'll ask this question and then we'll go because I want to get to this loser's audio. Same level of confidence or more confident in the Rams' ability to win this weekend with Stafford versus having Jared Goff for those years that they did?
Far more confident.
I'm more confident.
Okay. Far more confident.
Yeah. And I think McVay is now close.
I mean, Goff was the quarterback of a Super Bowl team.
Yeah. Well, not a very good team. Got to the Super Bowl, yes.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yes.
I think McVay's more confident in how he calls plays for Matt Stafford and avoids putting him in.
I would also argue that team shouldn't have been in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And putting Stafford into situations where he feels like he has to do something.
They call pass interference. That team does not get to the Super Bowl.
Oh, probably not, no.
They lose that game.
I won't argue that. All right, we'll get to the Russell Wilson coming up. The news of him, is he going to stay in Seattle? They made a move yesterday, maybe indicating that they are buying in and keeping Russ and trying to build this thing. But let's hear from the losers of Wild Card Weekend. We'll do that next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Russell Wilson had to make the Wild Card Weekend, or at least he tried, about him. Somebody asking why I have a hate erection for Matt Stafford.
Hey, what's your beef, bro?
I'm texting him back, hate? I don't. But are we going to act like he makes you feel that much more confident in the Rams? I don't feel that way. I'm not disputing that he's a better player than Goff, but I think he's had so many weird moments this year that them going to Tampa with him or Goff doesn't really, I think, change how I feel. And I could be wrong, but I love that trade.
He deserves no cookie from you.
Forgot about that drop. I love that move. You know, I talked about the Rams before the season started. Like, I liked their odds.
Oh, that,
trade hasn't, you know, it's been fine. They're obviously a playoff team, but it's just not been quite what I thought it would be.
It was the last 3-4 weeks of the season. The amount of, I mean, he threw.
It was also the Titan game. I watched that Titan game, and I just couldn't believe watching him throw multiple pick sixes.
Yeah, I mean, that was all the way back in November.
That's how far back this has been going. It's been catching my eye of like, is Stafford's doing that?
I mean, just for reference sake, in the last 4 games of the season, he threw 8 interceptions. He threw 17 on the year.
That's a lot of interceptions. How many Rodgers
throw?
No doubt. 3?
Well, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is historically the best all time of touchdown interception ratio. So nobody's ever going to get close to that. I mean, he threw a lot of interceptions this year. He was also second in the league in touchdown passes. He threw 41 touchdown passes. I was second in the NFL this season behind, I believe, only Tom Brady. So that's a pretty good number. This week is very important for him. I see all the things you're arguing.
Yeah.
He's got to play well this week. And I do think there is still a ton of pressure on the Rams to show that the trade was worth it. And I think to Swag's point in the last segment, if you are to lose, how do you lose? Is it a close game? Does it go back and forth and you just lose to Tom Brady because it's Tom freaking Brady? Or do you lose this game because Matt Stafford stinks up the joint, throws a couple of picks late, makes bad boneheaded decisions? Then you're going to be, I think, left questioning all offseason. Oh, my God, what did we do? But if you're close in this game and you barely lose, I think you say, okay, we're right there, man. We almost knocked off Tampa Bay. We got, you know, Matthew Stafford in the prime of his career. We're not going anywhere for the next 3 or 4 years. We're going to have great shots at winning the whole thing.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes this weekend. Rams at Bucks. Let's get to some losers, the losers of the weekend. In the wild card, I always love listening to what these post-game guys have to say when they get bounced after one playoff game. We'll start with Arizona, and we'll kind of just move on down the needle here. This one was a pretty good one.
It was a massive failure. I mean, from what we were capable of doing and from what we showed we can do to today, there's no other way to describe it than as a failure.
So that's J.J. Watt. The Cardinals got bounced in the wild card weekend. We talked about this with the Rams. The Cardinals, I mean, he's a Cardinal player telling you it's a massive failure to get bounced in round one. Hard to see. Let's see what his coach had to say.
I think experience is a big part of it. You know, there's only one way to experience playoff football, and that's to go through it. And unfortunately, we didn't, you know, play our best game. And I thought L.A. played a great game, had a great plan, and outplayed us and outcoached us. But I think you just got to go through these moments and learn from it and grow from it and use it as motivation.
There's radio hosts down in Arizona calling for his job. And he's fired.
I can't blame him. And every year he's been a head coach, this is the way the year's gone for him. Even going all the way back to his time at Texas Tech, this team, they get off to great starts and they crumble late in the season. And I watching that game Monday night, I had a realization that sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. Because I was completely wrong about Odell Beckham Jr. He has been a game changer for the Rams offense, especially with the injury to Robert Woods. I poo-pooed that and thought this guy's a malcontent everywhere he's been. I'm not buying he's going to be this game changer for them. And boy, oh boy, was I wrong on that. The one team, though, that I never bought into the hype this year, mainly because I think their quarterback still has a lot to prove and I don't trust their coach, was the Arizona Cardinals, and they proved me right in the end.
Philadelphia got bounced. I heard a hot take from Nick Costos of the BetQL Network. Nick has a theory that he thinks Philadelphia purposely lost, like they didn't make an effort to win. Now, I know Nick's not like all in on this because he said it in kind of a half joking manner. But like he makes an interesting point. Why would you not brought in Gardner Minshew after a certain point in that game? Get down 17-0 and Jalen Hurts couldn't do anything. Hurts was asked about being the franchise quarterback for the Eagles next year. Is what he had to say.
The relationships that I've built with my teammates. The time that we put in the work, getting this far in the season and overcoming the different things we've overcome this year and being with my coaches, building relationships with them and building something special in the future. So I think there's a lot of value in everything that's happened this year.
I don't want to say the moment got too big for him. I just think we made some mistakes. Coaching, it always starts with me as a coach. There were some coaching mistakes, and you know there's going to be guys that are going to want some plays back out there. But I didn't feel and I didn't sense for a moment that the moment was too big for him. It was a great atmosphere here, but I never felt that out there. We just didn't make some plays, and we didn't coach good enough at the end of the day.
So there's Sirianni on Jalen Hurts and how he played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I mean, the problem was the only way Philly could move the football is by running the ball, and Tampa was healthy in their front seven again. You combine those two things. When Tampa's healthy in their defensive line, their front seven, their linebackers are flying around, you can't run the football on them. So, I see Nick's joking point of why wouldn't you pull – Hurts and bringing Gardner Minshew. I think a lot of it was, let's see what this kid has, because Gardner Minshew, what as fun as he is and great a story he is, he's not their franchise quarterback. They're trying to decipher.
Boy, Hurts.
Sure, and I don't believe so. I don't believe so either, but I think at least if you're Philly, there's a, this guy led us to the playoffs, won 9 games this year. Like, let's at least give him a full playoff game to give him a chance to have this experience. That's the biggest question that they got to answer, because that roster is better than I think a lot of people imagined. They have like diet Lamar Jackson, a guy that's not a great thrower of the football. He's not quite as athletic as Lamar, but he can run around and make plays with his legs. It's going to keep in a lot of regular season games, but the question comes when you get into a moment like this, is he good enough to beat a playoff team in Tampa? And that was obviously a no.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, when you play for the Dallas Cowboys, you play here, you understand it's Super Bowl or nothing. And as I said, having the team that we had, having the brotherhood, the camaraderie, the full team, talent, great unit, great coaches, we definitely underachieved. And it sucks, point blank.
Are you of the belief, or are you confident that Mike McCarthy will continue to lead this team next season?
Absolutely, very confident.
Failure of a season, Mike McCarthy's still coming back.
What are you doing, man? What are you doing?
Well, what are your options? I mean, will you tell me what their options are?
I mean, not Mike McCarthy.
Well,
if Jerry Jones is willing to write a check, his options are
endless.
It's a Jerry Jones problem. It always has been. We all know this, man.
Well, they're in cap hell now, too. I mean, the Zeke contract, the Dak contract's big. They're going to have to let a lot of guys go that are starting players because they just can't make it work financially.
They're not making the playoffs next year. They're not.
Then you fire McCarthy.
Well, yeah.
But you should do it now. But
I listened to a lot of this audio yesterday from all these games, and my takeaway is Philadelphia and Pittsburgh were the two teams that were just happy to be there, and everybody else either had an expectation
very
or is ecstatic about moving on. Because here's Mike Tomlin in the postgame.
You know, I think I'd start by saying, you know, as opposed to coming in here and talking about the things that we didn't do and how we fell short, I just expressed it to the football team. Last thing to do is to compliment the Kansas City Chiefs. They got a really good football team. They got an explosive football team, and they did a good job tonight. There were some things that we didn't do, obviously, but I don't want to diminish what they did. I tip my cap to those guys.
But coaches, they know when they got their hats handed to them, and they know when they let one get away.
That's why Kostos was saying that. He's like, not that Philly, like, oh, let's lose today, but it's just like, it was an accomplishment for the Eagles to be in the playoffs this year. It was.
It was.
The Steelers had a quarterback who could not throw the ball further than 20 yards, 80% of a game, and they still got in the dance. Sometimes those are wins for organizations going through those kind of seasons.
I think Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers are a key team to watch the entire offseason.
Who would they go for quarterback?
They got a great defense. I know their weapons on the outside can be a little hit and miss at times, and Claypool and Juju, and they, you know, Johnson can't catch the football, but Najee Harris had a great rookie season. Dude, if I'm one of these quarterbacks that is looking for new spots, a Russell Wilson if I want to get traded, or an Aaron Rodgers if I want out of Green Bay, any of those guys, how do you not put the Pittsburgh Steelers atop your list? With a coach that's never had a record below 500, you kidding me? They would be near the top of my list.
All right, we got a loaded second hour. We're going to Cincinnati for the ticker. The Bengals get their first playoff win in 31 years, and now they've got the Titans. But we start the second hour. Russell Wilson making it all about him. Yet again, here we go again, another Russell Wilson offseason. Hour 2 on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.